It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. I am your host, Matt Slick, once again, by God's grace. Hey, why don't you give me a call? We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M. And it's from the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, carm.org. So you can check that out if you want. And for those of you who may be just wanting to know, we're still having trouble with the website. We were hacked. And it's still up and running, but it just doesn't look real good. And that's just how it is right now. So I'm working on something, and we'll see how that goes. I got something in the works here. Any rate, let's see. We got that. Oh, and also we shall have the book, 30 Days of Devotion. You can just go to carm.org, and type in the top of the thing. Just type carm.org/30. And I think it'll just get you right to the page on a book. It'll take you to Amazon if you want. You click on the Amazon link. And I've got a lot of books I've got out, and you can go to Amazon and just type in my name, Matt Slick, and you'll find some books that I've written and stuff like that. You can check them out, from a fiction novel that teaches good Christian theology to a novella, such as a small novel called Atheistica. And that's about an atheist island and a nation that things just don't go really well. And you can check that out. And for the atheists who might be wondering how I wrote that, in other words, did I present the atheists as being decent people? Yes, I did. It's just a philosophy of atheism doesn't work very well. And working on a sci-fi novella, and I got some other things I'm going to be working on, too. I got a lot of stuff going on. So, anyway, we'll see. And I think that is about it. So we have four open lines. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tom from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
My question is regarding Luke chapter 11, verses 31 and 32.
Luke 11, verses 31 and 32. I just got to get my Bible program open. I rebooted my computer and forgot to get it running. So give me 15, 20 seconds. What's the issue you got while I'm waiting for the program to load?
It's regarding the Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites. My question is the language of the scripture indicating that they are saved, Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites?
Well, I don't know about Queen of Sheba. The Ninevites, we know, repented. And repentance doesn't mean that you're saved. Repentance means a change in mind and attitude. They repented from their paganism. We might assume that since Jonah gave them the good biblical message from God, that, well, we're hoping that they did repent, and we can assume, or we could make the case that, well, maybe they were saved. You know, we don't know for sure. Okay, Luke 11:32. The men of Nineveh will stand up with his generation at judgment and condemn it, because they've repented at the preaching of Jonah and feel something greater than Jonah's here. So, you know, we could make the case that corporately they repented and got saved.
So if the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, came to faith in Jehovah, my next question would be, on the basis of what could they have been saved? Could it have been through a blood sacrifice, or could it have been simply faith in Jehovah now, the specific God Jehovah?
Well, the issue is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, that's the standard that we have from looking back. When they were pre-cross, they had to look forward. And what we find in Romans 4:3, for what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that's Genesis 15:6. So we see that way back before the law, way back before Nineveh, that Abraham was justified before God by his faith in God. So sometimes in theology, what we talk about are the aspects of salvation at the level of knowledge that they had before the cross. And it seems to be that since Abraham believed God and was credited him as righteousness, that he was justified and he was saved. but he didn't have any knowledge of the person and work of Christ. So the question then becomes, does that same principle apply elsewhere? And I think it does. I think that God can certainly call other people and give them or grant to them faith, or they can exercise faith in who they understand to be the true and living God. And depending on a few variables, you know, it could be justified as well.
So let's think about some people whom God saved through blood sacrifice in the past, because you mentioned that God operates through covenant. Well, the covenant going all the way back to Abraham, going back to Abraham and then going back to Adam and Eve, was that it was a life for life. It was a vicarious sacrifice.
Yes.
And when Abel brought his sacrifice, it was accepted by God, but Cain brought an offering from the field, and it was rejected.
Right.
So it seems that God operated through faith in a blood sacrifice.
Well, the first sacrifice we find is in Genesis, when the Lord covered Adam and Eve with animal skins, and the implication is that there's a shedding of blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So the first bloodshed, most probably, even though it doesn't specifically say so, the logic seems to follow through that it was a pre-incarnate Christ in the garden who shed blood, by which then opened that door, so to speak, for Adam and Eve to be justified by faith, because their faith in Christ, in the Lord God, would have been all that they had at that point. And it would seem to be the case going down the line. Well, I'll leave it there for now. But that's, they would be, therefore, justified. So, Abraham, the funny thing about Abraham, we don't know how much he knew, because in Genesis 22, he offered up Isaac, and Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced to see his day and saw it and was glad. In John 8:56, he says that. So we think that Abraham knew more than what the text reveals. But how much more? Well, we don't know. We can only go with what the text says. God appeared to Abram in Genesis 17:1, got his name changed. In Genesis 18:1, his name was Abraham, and God appeared to him again then. So what we can conclude is that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone through the sacrifice. But the sacrifice hadn't even happened yet back then. So what we would see is a now and not yet. In the now sense, they're justified by the sacrifice of Christ, but not yet, because it hadn't occurred yet. So I don't like to say the idea, because it can open up a door for problems. I got to be very careful. But they were saved and justified by their faith in God, and even though they may not have known the sacrificial system, their faith in God is what justified them, but ultimately it would be through Christ, even though they hadn't any knowledge of Christ. And how that exactly works, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, because it's getting confusing in that looking at Gentiles before the cross. Let's suppose they had faith in a generic deity or in a God of heaven, and they offered a blood sacrifice. Okay, then we look to something like 1 Corinthians 10:20, and in 1 Corinthians 10:20, Paul writes, "What pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God."
Right.
So I'm thinking that the Old Testament characters who may have been offering a blood sacrifice, I'm not even sure that that would have covered their sins if they had faith even in just an unknown God. How do you answer that?
Well, that reminds me of Alcoholics Anonymous, where they offer their repentance, whatever, to a God of their own description and their own invention, and that's the paganism. So, is it possible for God to reveal himself in different ways across cultures and across time? And I'm definitely of the opinion that the answer is yes. We know, for example, right now that it's happening in the Middle East, where Muslims are having dreams and visions of Jesus, and they're becoming saved. When I was in Jerusalem at a bookstore, the owner came out and told me that Jesus appeared to him when he was 17, and when he looked into Jesus' eyes, he knew he was God. And he says he's dedicated to the Lord Jesus. I have no problem with that, because I don't see it violating Scripture. Now, some may take umbrage with that, but we could have, you know, our day of debate on that. So can God do that? I believe so. Now, God grants that we have faith, Philippians 1:29. Could he then grant in the Old Testament that people have faith in true and living God according to the work of God? I would say yes. The pagans, however, if they're going to be offering a blood sacrifice, for example, to Moloch, well, that's the object of their faith is the obvious pagan God, so they can't be justified. So this gets into a difficult area, a gray area. They would have to have some knowledge of the true and living God, and the only way that's possible is if God had revealed it to them.
Yeah, and from these verses in Luke 11, I'm thinking that there possibly could be a great company of Gentiles before the cross who were doing this and believing. I'm thinking also the Chinese, you've mentioned before, they, in their caricature, they have a message of the gospel. They may have had a rudimentary knowledge of the God of heaven and offered a blood sacrifice and come under the covenant.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, and I do have one more.
There's inclusivism, inclusivism, exclusivism, and it's been a while since I've had to deal with that. But inclusivism is a belief that God is present in non-Christian religions to save adherents through Christ. There are those within the Reformed camp who are adamantly opposed to any form of inclusivism. I'm a little bit more free in that because I know that justification happened by Abraham in Genesis 4:3, which is quoting Genesis 15:6, I believe it was. And what had happened before Genesis 15:6, in Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." All the nations. Now that means the prophetic issue of the coming of Christ through the lineage of Abraham, which occurred. And even though Jesus was covenantally sent only to Israel, per Matthew 15:24, and when Israel rejected the Messiah, the Gentiles were grafted in. But does that mean that before that grafting, that no Gentile could be saved?
Yep.
I don't affirm that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because God can certainly, if he wants to, I think it's possible, whether or not he did or did not, that's another issue. It's certainly possible for God to give a sufficient revelation of himself to various individuals, along with justification by faith, in what they knew and had that God had revealed to them to that point. I don't have any problem with that. Did he do it? That I can't answer. So, don't know for sure.
So I have one concluding question I'd hope you'd address. In witnessing to a Muslim lady one time, she was telling me that at the Hajj, they sacrifice a lamb as part of their ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was telling me that thus they have a blood sacrifice to cover their sin. And for the benefit of the Muslim listeners, the Islamic audience you might have right now, can you explain to them why a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, other than that of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, after the cross is insufficient to atone for their sins? Can you explain that to them?
Yeah, we could explain it to them in that the blood of goats and lambs is not sufficient to cleanse us. That's a New Testament revelation. But I've actually talked to some Muslims about that issue. It's in the Quran about the blood sacrifices. And the people who grew up in Islam and became Christians have told me that they don't know what the real reason is for it. It's just there. Now, I think it's there because Muhammad was influenced by the Old Testament people, New Testament people. Hold on for a second. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Folks, after these messages, an interesting conversation. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Why don't you give me a call? We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Tom from Raleigh, North Carolina, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. So, I forgot what train of thought we were on. I mean, the flow of the moment. But
it was about the Muslims then offering a sacrifice of a lamb every year at the Hajj, and is that sufficient to cleanse them of their sins, or do they need the blood of Jesus to do that?
No, they deny the blood of Christ. Well, they still need Jesus. I mean, that's a fact. But they deny that Jesus was even crucified and the Trinity and things like that, sort of 4171. So they don't have any sacrificial system. In fact, I have an argument that I use along those lines to demonstrate that the God of Islam is unholy. And there's a way to do that, but nevertheless. So when I've asked, like I said, I've asked about the sacrifice issue, there's not really any good answer. And Muslims don't know what to do with it, as far as I understand. I was doing research, wanted to write an article on it, but got sidetracked with a thousand other things. So the lamb issue, that's very interesting. And as I was saying before the break, there was an Arian heresy that was prevalent in that area, and Jews were also prevalent in the area. So Muhammad, who was a caravanner, obviously had influence by various people who are theologically trained and exposed in different categories. So he blended everything in the Quran and made a lot of mistakes in the process. There's some theological issues, historical issues out of the Bible that are incorrect and things like that, which proves the Quran's false, but that's another topic as well. So it's just a hodgepodge of stuff, and I don't think they know what to do with it, with the sacrifice issue. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless. That was Tom from Raleigh, North Carolina. Folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Javel from Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right by God's grace. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Yeah, so I called yesterday, and it was about the topic of salvation. And I first of all want to say thank you, because to be honest, I may have been self-deceived for all the time. Like, I think I've been a Christian because I've been relying on my own works in a way. But today, I have a question on discipleship, I guess you could say. And all this right. kind of ties into salvation also. But in Luke 14, when Jesus is talking about if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to talk about how if you don't carry your own cross, you can't be his disciple. So how, I think it's easy to say, yes, I hate everything else in comparison to God. I feel like it's easy to say that, but how can I kind of test myself to see if I really actually do love God that much? And how can I know if I'm carrying my cross daily?
Well, you're going to have to ask God that one. Because each person mm-hmm. is different. And so what is a test for you may not be a test for me. So I can't reach into your heart mm-hmm. and tell you what you have to do in order to be tested. You have to go to that word. You have got to trust the Lord. I would ask God to clarify your belief and your understanding of Christ and to purify your faith in Him. He will allow you to be tested. And that's the process to do that. And people are tested in different ways. Because it's difficult, and it's mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are just dependent upon how you are. So you're just going to have to ask God, and He'll work with you. All right, He will work with mm-hmm. you. Okay, He will.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and also is there a certain way you can kind of know if you're, regenerated or not?
Well, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they're foolishness to him. He can't receive them. He can't understand them. He doesn't believe and trust in them. And so, generally speaking, if you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead physically 3 days later in His glorified body, mm-hmm. and that justification, your righteousness before God, is by faith alone, in Christ alone. These are the basics. And if you affirm these things, it's one of the great signs of being regenerate. So that's one of the ways mm-hmm. you can know. Plus, a manifestation. See, that's a manifestation intellectually. There's also a manifestation spiritually. And you're manifesting that in that you desire, it seems to be, that you desire to honor God, to grow in the things of God, to make sense of the things of God. And that's a demonstration of God's work in you. Also, in Ephesians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, there's nine things listed. And even though there's nine things listed, the Greek word for fruit is in the singular, karpos. And so it's like saying the one fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So are you manifesting any of those? Well, the idea is, well, yeah. You know, are you doing it perfectly? Of course not. No Christian does. But the idea is that there's supposed to be some change in your action, your behavior, your understanding of things. And then as you move forward, you struggle because you realize how far you have to go and the failures that are so prevalent in our lives as Christians. The closer we get to Christ, we realize these things.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. And real quick, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not holding anybody.
We don't have anybody else waiting. Let me give the phone number out so people can call. Anyone else waiting? 877-207-2276. Folks, you have four open lines. Give me a call. Okay, keep going, JoBell.
Yeah, so, okay, referring back to Jesus when he's talking about you need to hate your family and all that. I know he's not talking about, like, actually hate, but when he's saying that, if I'm being completely honest, a lot of the times I don't really feel this, like, emotional type love for God. You know what I mean? It's almost like a...
Neither do I.
Like, I know...
So...
That's where it kind of, like... Yeah.
Look,
that kind of confused me right there.
I've been married 32 years, okay? And my wife and I are together every single day. I don't feel this loving butterfly thing all the time with her. You know, we just go about our lives. But if she gets in any way injured or anybody in any way gets close to her that might be a threat, I react very strongly. The emotions are there. But we get so comfortable with who and what we are in life that we just function in that way. And that's okay. That's fine. So you don't have to worry about that. And don't trust your feelings. That's not what Christianity is about. If you don't feel close to God...
Mm-hmm.
So what? Then you pray and you say, Lord, I'm not feeling close to you. And maybe he doesn't want you to feel close to him right away. Maybe he wants you to not have your faith based on emotions that go up and down, but he wants you to have your faith based upon the resurrection of Christ, his work on the cross. And that way, it's independent of your emotions, which can go good or go bad. And, you know, if your relationship with Christ is based on how you feel, then what kind of a relationship is that? My relationship with my wife is not dependent on my feelings, but my commitment to her and vice versa. All right, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. Get
there.
Keep going. Hey, folks, give me a call. We have four open lines. Or five open lines. Wide open. 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Give the phone number out and give me a call. 877-207-2276. We have three open lines. Let's just jump right on here, and welcome to the show. You're on the air. Are you there?
Oh,
hello?
Yeah, sorry. I guess I didn't really...
That's okay.
On there. I had a question about, just kind of Christian walk and mental illness, like how to reconcile scriptures that clearly state not to fear, not to worry, and how to balance that in with, like if you're in a state where you're always prone to do that. To a higher extent than the average person medically. Like, how would you, reconcile that?
Reconciliation is that we understand that the intention that God wants for us is to rest in Him. That's the goal. Just like the goal is to never lust, to never covet, to never be proud. And it's to rest in Him and have comfort in Him as well. These are all goals that we are to aim for, but we don't always achieve them because we have sin within us. even those with mental illness, and I've met many who have that, they have legitimate problems and issues, and they have great difficulty finding peace and comfort in Christ because they're so, well, on the scale great, then on the scale bad, and then in the middle, and they get to the point where they can't even trust their own feelings or what's going to happen in the next few hours. And they put their hope and their faith in Christ to be cured from this, and with some it does, they are cured, and others are not. And so, just like, you know, my wife, who has some serious medical issues, physical issues, seriously, and they're manifesting and stuff, she has the ability to praise God even in the midst of it. And it's difficult, and yet she's not being healed. We pray every night for her healing. So it's the same kind of a thing with others in their situation. They pray for healing, they pray for deliverance, they pray for whatever, and a lot of times it does not come. Sometimes it does. And I suspect that one of the reasons is because God is providing us a great opportunity to praise Him through the difficulties, which then manifest in the afterlife in an incredibly great reward. And which is greater, to be healed now or to be blessed forever and eternity in a greater way. So this is one of the reasons I suspect that God does not heal right away. On the other hand, it might be because we don't have enough faith. Not that faith, we have to have faith in faith, but there's something to it. And so it's a complicated issue. It's a difficult issue. And all I can say is to those who are having struggles with the issue of mental illness is to get medication. There's nothing wrong with taking meds to be helped to have your head balanced, so to speak, because a physical brain can be deformed and deficient just as an arm or a leg at birth or eyes. People born blind or people born deaf are going to have things happen in the physical brain. And so there are a lot of chemicals that can help a great deal. And so it's a holistic approach spiritually, mentally, medically, where it all needs to be tackled. Are you there?
Yeah, all right.
I wish I had a great answer for you. I wish I had a better answer. I just don't. But it's tough.
Yeah. Do you think it could be also just a matter of just where someone's at spiritually and growing in grace? Like, if, I mean, because like if they were to like understand that better, I feel like they'd have a better understanding of like they can't control their feelings, and I don't know, because it seems like some of the mental illness, it's like it's leaning a lot on your own feelings and perceptions.
Yes. I'm always very careful when I talk about this on the radio, because people who might be suffering in those areas might take some of the words that I'm saying and misapply them, and so I have to be very careful.
Right.
So I speak generically, and that's the best I can do. But I do recommend that people see doctors, and if medications are to be prescribed, to take them, and to move forward with them. I've said this on the radio before. I've got a family member who has to take meds, and they help quite a bit. So you know, mental for issues and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. So, you know, what I do is I just say, look, it could be a spiritual issue, could be emotional issue, could be a physical issue. But the whole is we need to look at everything, medicine, spiritual things as well. You know, diet, sleep, exercise, all that needs to be worked out. As far as the people themselves inside of it, it is difficult. It is very difficult for them, because it's a torture. It's it can be very hell-like for them as they deal with things, and it doesn't seem to be any help or any hope, and they want out and can't get out. It can be very difficult. I know. I've talked to a lot of people over this issue. Are you there?
All right. Well, yep.
All right. And just, you know, finally, as I said, it might be a reward issue that God's going to give for those who are in the situation or praising Him. But also, those who have suffered in various ways, once they've been delivered, have moved through it, are able to help others. And sometimes that's what God allows for a reason like that. So what I recommend people do is to decide to trust in the Lord through all of it, to get the medical help they need and counseling help if they need it, but also through it to set their compass towards Christ and just keep their eyes on Christ through all of it, no matter how good it gets, no matter how bad it gets, and to do that and get the help they need, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276, and let's get to Eddie from Houston. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hermano Matt, ¿cómo estás?
Un poco cansado.
Pero es bueno.
¿Cómo?
Tengo una pregunta.
Okay. What do you got then?
I'm a former Catholic.
Okay.
40 years.
Wow.
And I'm a debate Catholic. And I wanted to know if I could use Matthew 13:11 to explain the keys that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 16.
The keys, that's interesting. Matthew 16:18, and also Matthew 18:18, I believe it is. Others exercise that authority that they, the Roman Catholic Church says the keys possess are possessed by them alone. The authority to forgive. And what I would do is go to CARM and go to the bottom of the page. It's all messed up right now. But, or you could just go to a Google search engine, type in the word CARM and type in, does the Roman Catholic Church have the authority of Christ? And type in the word CARM with that, and you'll find the article. It'll come up. And I go through Matthew, or Luke 5:24-25, as well as Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 8, to talk about the issue of the authority. The Roman Catholic Church wants to say it has the authority from the apostles. But the if they do have the authority that Jesus gave to the apostles was to be able, on command, to be able to heal, cast out demons, etc. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't do that. They don't have the authority of Christ. So it's one of the ways to demonstrate that they don't have those keys the way they want to say that they do, if they point to themselves and not to Christ. But I wouldn't really use Luke 13:11 for that, because it's too much of a... unless you've got something I just don't see, I wouldn't go there. It's not something I would have done, Luke 13:11, but the woman, you know, bent over for 18 years in sickness caused by spirit. And then she was freed.
Yeah.
But that was freed by Christ.
Well, Matthew 13:11 speaks,
yes,
about the kingdom of heaven. And the apostles are the only ones that possess that knowledge.
Yeah, it's hard to understand.
Doesn't that mean that they have the keys to that?
I don't see that in Matthew, in Luke 13:11. There's a woman for 18 years had sickness.
No, Matthew 13:11.
Oh, Matthew 13:11. Okay, let me check. To you has been granted mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not been granted. Oh, man, I could go with that one all over the place. Whoever has more shall be given more, etc. Speak in parables. He's talking to the disciples. To the disciples there. I tell you what, we've got a break coming up, so hold on. And we'll tackle this a little bit more after the break. Hey, folks, give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, folks, before we get back to the callers, I want to give a shout-out for something. Trans World Radio. I interviewed them a few years ago, and I want to give a plug out because they have a project which is absolutely worth supporting, and I do highly recommend them. Trans World Radio, what they do is they get the gospel out by getting radio stations all over the world. And people have radios everywhere, and the gospel can be spoken. can be taught. It's incredibly efficient. It's like the internet. They can get radios to people, and solar powered radios. They can do all kinds of stuff, but they build radio stations. And what I recommend you do, seriously, is to donate to them and support them in their effort. They're trying to build another station in Africa and get that gospel message out there. Just go to twr.org, Trans World Radio, twr.org, and check it out. It's worth doing. I really want you guys to do that because it's great. All right. Let's get back to Eddie from Houston. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the show. All right. So, where were we?
We were discussing Matthew 13:11.
Mm-hmm. You have been granted the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's to the disciples. What the Catholics would do is probably use a verse like that to say, see, what's granted to them is granted to us as a church, and therefore we can tell you that Mary ascended into heaven and can hear millions of prayers simultaneously and all this kind of stuff. They'll drive a truckload of heresy through something like that. They look for any and every excuse they can to elevate themselves as the true church. But
Yes, they keep equating the keys to the key of David. And I tell them, I don't think that's what it means. All the parables begin with the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. I mean, wouldn't that be the gospel? Wouldn't you have the keys to the gospel?
Well, the authority to preach and teach. And so we find that, the keys you're talking about of Isaiah 22, opening and shutting and things like that. They will set the key of the house of David on the shoulder. What I would recommend that you do is read Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. Go to CARM and look up the article, Does the Roman Catholic Church Have the Authority of Christ? And you'll find the verses, Luke 5:24. Let me make sure that is the right verse. And, yes, Luke 5:24 and 25, and also Matthew chapter 10. So Luke 5:24 and 25, those two verses, and Matthew 10, and just read through those. And you'll be able to put together the argument of the authority issue out of the Word of God. The Roman Catholic Church obviously does not have the authority of Christ because, well, for one thing, they teach false doctrines, which contradict scriptures. That's obvious. But also they don't demonstrate the authority that was given the same way it was given to the apostles. And that's the way I would tackle it. Because if you get into the issue of the keys, then it's going to become an interpretation of the keys issue, and they're just going to claim that they have that authority. What I do is just say, if you have that authority, then do you exercise it the same way Christ said it would be exercised? They don't. And so that way I cut the legs out from underneath their argument a little bit easier. Okay?
Okay.
All right, man.
That's good advice.
Okay. Well, God bless, buddy.
All right. God bless you and your wife.
Hey, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That was Eddie from Houston, Texas. Folks, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Let's get to Jason from Ohio. Hey, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
By God's grace. I'm hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, first question. The podcast on the iTunes app only go back to November, and I listened to a lot probably at least 6 months back or a year back. Do you know if there's a limitation on the iTunes app, or are you able to upload those back on to the iTunes app?
I don't know. I don't even know who does them. Oh, no, I do. He set it up, and I don't know what the situation is. I didn't set it up. We used to have someone who did all that and worked on it. I do have about 2,200 radio shows on MP3, and I can put them on DVDs and stuff and try and sell them. Because it costs money to mail and produce and everything. But other than that, I don't know to tell you. You know, maybe I could put them up on some server someplace.
All right, I had just took notes on different topics when you were speaking on the radio, and then they got removed from the podcast app. So I didn't know if there was like a time that they got removed after or if they could be put back on. But anyways, my actual question is on... Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Actual question on, I understand that we are saved by faith and not of works, but could you explain further the rewards in heaven that the Bible talks about versus like the punishment that is talked about for our sin?
Yes, there will be those who have rewards and loss of rewards. And this is not taught a whole bunch. It's not that we are going around as Christians trying to get rewards in heaven, and that's our goal. Our goal is to glorify Christ. But the fact is, let me slow down and do a little bit of teaching, because a lot of people just don't know this stuff. Every Christian is given one or more spiritual gifts by the Lord. Sometimes these are charismatically operated, sometimes they're not. Somebody might be a better teacher than a preacher, might be a better helper, might have administrative gifts, whatever it might be. But everybody, as a Christian, has spiritual giftings given by God. Now, before I progress, I want to say that if any of you who are listening, you have been a Christian for, say, 3, 4, 5 years more or longer, and you don't know your spiritual gift, then there's a problem. The church you're going to is not teaching you what you need to know in order for you to discover what it is your spiritual gifting is. If you don't know what your gift is, it's because you're not doing anything. And if you're not doing anything, you're not going to know what your gifting is. Some people, what they want to do is have the gift manifested in a chalkboard in the sky. This is what they're supposed to do. And that's not how God operates. What he wants you to do is to go and do, go and experience. A lot of times people have an inclination, a desire. Maybe they want to, you know, feed the homeless. Maybe they want to just help a ministry. Maybe they want to clean someone's house, whatever. And they think it's from God. That's fine. And they can do those things. It can be all kinds of different ways. Radio, website, writing. It can be preaching, door to door. It can be whatever it is. But the thing is, you have to try. And what generally happens in the trying is you find out what you're good at, what you're not good at, what you have an inclination to do or not do. And this is how you discover your spiritual gifts. So those of you who have been Christians for years and don't know your gifts, it's because you're not doing anything. You're not seeking to honor God by utilizing what is going on in your body, in your heart, your soul, your mind before the Lord. And you need to repent of that and find out what it is your gifting is, because the work of the pastor is to equip the Christian for the work of ministry. And that's what the pastor is supposed to do. So if a pastor is not equipping you for discovering your giftings one way or another, then he's failing. And that's Ephesians 4, 1 through, or 11 and 12 talks about this. 11, 12, 13, that range talks about these things. So if a person is given gifts, I'll get back on topic here. If a person is giving spiritual gifts and they use them for the glory of God, there's a reward in heaven. It doesn't matter what gift you've got. It matters that you use whatever you've been given by God for the glory of God. And it doesn't mean you have to do everything perfectly, because we don't. We just don't do things perfectly. It's just the way it is. So, you know, like for me, I'm a teacher. I'm an apologist. That's my gifting. So I want to use it for the glory of God. And will I get rewards? I don't know. I don't care about the rewards. But if I do, it's because I'm using those giftings God has given me for the expansion of the kingdom and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to honor him with what I have. And so, by God's grace, there'll be some rewards. What if he gave me these gifts, and what I chose to do was do nothing? And I chose to sit around. I chose to hide in the back of the church. I chose not to support various ministries. I chose not to utilize or discover what my gifts are. There'll be a loss of reward in heaven, because God has given every Christian something to do and the means to do what he wants you to do in that gifting. And this is why I think it's very important that pastors develop a methodology for people to find opportunities. Like at a church I go to, Calvary Chapel in Eagle, here in Idaho, there are missionaries who go to the Philippines. There's a couple, and they go to the Philippines. And so they open it up to anybody in the church. And some people in the church go, some don't. That's fine. Some, a way to help. My wife and I, you know, I needed help packing the house for our move and new stuff getting ready. We had people from the church just coming over in droves and helping. There's a gifting that people have and able to do that. There's rewards in heaven for them for that. And so, you know, there's just different ways that people can do things. So if we have been given a gift by God or gifts by God, and we choose to seek them out and to use them for the glory of God, generally speaking, there's a reward. If we bury our talents in the dirt and don't use the giftings that God has given us, then there'll probably be a loss of reward. Okay?
Right. Cool. Right. Are there any callers? I know there's only a couple minutes left.
Yeah,
are there any callers after me?
In. Yeah, look, another caller. Why don't you call back tomorrow, buddy? Okay?
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Matt. Have a good
one.
Right,
bye. Man. Okay. God bless. That was Jason from Ohio. Let's get to whoever this is.
Yeah, my name
from
is
wherever you are. Where are you? Hello?
Oh, San Diego, Escondido.
Escondido? Man, that's where I lived for like 12 years. Oh, yeah. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, I got a weird question, but I'll just say, do you believe that someone can sell their soul to the devil, and by doing that, they're damned?
I believe that people can make pacts and agreements with the evil one and have dire consequences upon their souls, absolutely. To, you know, generically speaking, about selling it with a contract and you get, you know, get money or cash or whatever. But I think it's something like that's possible.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I just wanted to hear your yes or no. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Yeah, I think a lot of people in the media have done that. Hollywood, I think some people in musical areas, they want fame and power so much so that they'll just say to the whatever spirit they pray to, you know, if you do this, I'll serve you. You know, give me this and that, I'll serve you. I don't care who you are. That kind of a thing, I believe, does occur. And there are successes because there's a lot of paganism out there. That is for sure. A lot of paganism. And I happen to know that there's a great deal of that in Hollywood. There's a lot of very great evil things that go on inside of Hollywood in closed doors. I've talked to people who've been in.
Hey, a quick question.
Sure.
Do you believe that the mark of the beast is an RFID chip?
I don't know what it is. Some say it might be a physical chip. Some say it might be a tattoo. Some say it might be a spiritual mark. I don't know what it actually is. But since it's in the context of an economic buying and selling, it most probably would be some sort of technological chip that is put under the skin that then enables people to buy and sell. And it, in order, and this is where the part problem will come in, of course, when that kind of a thing happens. We're out of time. Wow, man. Let's talk about that. Hey, folks, sorry about that. And Brian from South Carolina, call back tomorrow. We'll talk about the atheists. And thanks for that call. For whatever it was. May the Lord bless you all and by His grace. Get back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. See ya. God bless. Bye.